Welcome back to the second hour of the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can download that anywhere you get your favorite apps, Google Play Store, Apple App Store. Look for the big orange background with the white A, Odyssey. You downloaded it. You look for WILK News Radio. You favorite us, and that's it. You got us. You can also get us anywhere you find your favorite podcast. Just, again, favorite The Rob O'Donnell Show, and it'll be brought to your inbox each and every day. We put out between 3 and 5 podcasts each day. Well, it is Tuesday here, and like every Tuesday, we bring in Tuesdays with Tommy Marquez, a Navy veteran, a senior staffer in Congress for many years, and now he helps us give us information about our veteran systems out there. Tommy, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rob. Sounds like you guys are going to have a beautiful weekend out there in Scranton.
Yeah, it's been not a bad. We're dealing with the fire and smog from Canada, but other than that, the weather has been good. So,
well, the Canadians haven't brought us anything good since Celine Dion, I'll tell you what.
There you go.
Hey, so before I get into some exciting good news for the VA, boy, there is just nothing in this world that isn't met with controversy, right? It seems like everyone's got an opinion, and I was going through the ship naming award contract for a new Navy destroyer going to be named after Marine Corporal Kyle Carpenter. First of all, I've actually gotten to meet, I've had the honor of meeting Corporal Carpenter. He's a Medal of Honor recipient. I was in awe of him, and actually was at the day after he went to the Padre game and threw a perfect strike for the first pitch. For those of you who don't know, he was controversial in the beginning because in 2010 he jumped on a grenade to shield the blast of that grenade from fellow Marines saving their lives. He underwent dozens and dozens of surgeries and lived. And initially, there was this belief that started a long time ago with George H.W. Bush, the Medal of Honor recipients must die in order to receive the Medal of Honor. They have to receive it posthumously. That was not the intention of the award. And I will give credit where credit is due. President Obama changed that rule, and it started with Kyle Carpenter. And there was a lot of people who were upset that Corporal Carpenter got it, thinking that the Medal of Honor should be for those who die. They don't understand the rules. There's been tons of living. Go back to Vietnam, World War II, Korea. There's been hundreds and hundreds of individuals who received the Medal of Honor, and they lived. There's just so many examples. It's hard to even, you know, pick a couple. We've seen movies on it, Hacksaw Ridge, a million different things, right? So that controversy started. Now, the people who are upset that Marine Corporal Kyle Carpenter is getting a ship named after him, and they're saying, well, he's a Marine, not a sailor, or has no Navy background. I hate to do this to remind everyone, because this is the dumbest argument. I don't even want to have it. But for those of you who don't know, the Marine Corps is a part of the Department of the Navy. And there's a longstanding tradition of ships being named after Marines. So the idea that a Navy ship shouldn't be named after a Marine is ridiculous. That might be the most ridiculous thing I've heard to date. Now, I know that there's been a lot of controversy lately about the Harvey Milk, as he was a Navy veteran. But let's be honest, the Harvey Milk was named after him because of his role as an activist. And him and Medgar Evers, and their activism is important, and human rights belong to all people, in my opinion. But I don't think that necessarily should have a ship being named after you. And there's been other controversies in naming ships. You know, there is a USS Winston Churchill a long time ago, and people were, you know, very upset that a U.S. warship was going to be named after a non-U.S. citizen. The actual only reason why Winston Churchill was able to pass and they allowed the ship to be named after him, his mother was American, and I believe he was made an honorary citizen in 1963, Winston Churchill. So he did have some American roots. So the idea that activists shouldn't get ships named after them, that's a long-standing tradition. The idea, though, that a Marine shouldn't get a Navy ship named after him, that is not longstanding tradition, and I want to separate those two things and explain to people that ships should be named, you know, according to customs and traditions, with Navy and Marine Corps personnel based on their military service. Activism, I'm not a big fan of that. I had written letters when I was working in Congress, and I'm happy to see also that the Travis Manion is going to be receiving a ship named after him. I helped with Rafael Peralta, a Marine who was a Mexican citizen that immigrated to the United States, and he received the Navy Cross, and he too jumped on a grenade to save his fellow Marines' lives, and he got a ship named after him. And I'd like to see more Marines and sailors of modern-day heroics in the last two wars that we've had get ships named after them. And also, I'd love to see for ships to be named after battles like Fallujah, Ramadi, Tikrit, things that are related to the global war on terrorism.
Well, I've had a couple of admirals on this show that are petitioning day in and day out for a new USS Midway.
You know, I think the Midway is crucially important as a battle. I've been to the Midway, I'm not joking, 1,000 times in San Diego. I was on a ceremony there at least twice a month. That is not a joke. I could give the tours at a certain point, Rob. And I think there is a necessity for a ship named the Midway to be in the Navy at all times. But first, can we mix in a USS Fallujah, a USS Ramadi, and some of the other battles that we've had? I think those are noteworthy as well. And we should honor the veterans of this era by naming ships after them, too.
No doubt. And just in March 7th of 2020, there was a Marine Corps Chief Warrant Officer, Herschel Woodrow Williams. Woody. Mm-hmm. I happen to be friends mm-hmm. with him and meet him several times. I honor the friendship that I had with him in the conversations. Yes. There was a U.S. Navy Expeditionary Sea Base named after him, the USS Herschel yep. Woody Williams, ESB-4. And that was in March 7th of 2020. So there is that long. And he was the last surviving Medal of Honor recipient from the Battle of Iwo Jima. We have since lost wow. him since then. You know, Woody passed away a few years ago. We were friends. I honor the friendship that I had with him and the conversations I had with him. I'm glad my daughter got a chance to meet him as well.
Yeah, that is a huge honor. I did not get to meet him. I met his family. That is amazing, Rob. But there's room for all those names, too. One of the biggest problems also, I'm leaving this out, and I got to be honest, this is part of the problem, too. We don't build as many, we don't have as big a fleet as we did previously, right? And we know now we need to increase our fleet. And in doing so, as long, there's definitely a room for it. You can't remove a USS Midway. I do believe that there's room for some of these other battles and these other service members from the global war on terrorism to include them into the mix, right? What I don't believe there's room for is activists. There's too many great stories out there of individual sacrifice and battles to, you know, start putting on activists. Let's just be honest. There's other ways to honor them. There should be a statue to those individuals. Medgar Evers, I love his story. All those civil rights leaders, absolutely 100%, they should have their recognition. It's just not necessarily on a U.S. Navy warship, right? I'm also against a lot of members of Congress getting ships named after them. The Stennis, the Carl Vincennes, there's war heroes that should be named, get ships named after them first, in my opinion. That's me. Now, Rob, you and I, it's ironic, we sent this to each other, that the Navy, or the VA, I should say, excuse me, is changing the rules, and they're going to allow veterans to receive outside community care. And they're going to be able to keep their eligibility to receive continuous care for that specialty for 12 months. This is a huge update to the program for community care. And I thank you for sending it to me, Rob. And I appreciate that you put this out already and talked about it. I know you're going to put it on social media. A lot of individuals who don't know, they're out there struggling for VA for health care, and you're a veteran. Go to the VA. The VA is improving their care dramatically. And now, you know, can you imagine if you got to see a cardiologist, you don't see a cardiologist once. you see a cardiologist about 5 to 6 times if you have any kind of problems. And can you imagine if you had to wait 60 to 90 days each time for a referral from your primary care physician to go see your cardiologist? I mean, that would be horrible. And that's one of the 30 conditions, Rob, that they are now allowing 1 year. Once you get approval, you have that for a year. So you can see the cardiologist as many times as it takes during that year to get care for it. It's just relieving so much burden on the veteran and cutting through so much red tape. But Rob, you know what I hate is these op-eds. These op-eds in the Military Times, the Task and Purpose op-eds, military.com, Stars and Stripes. The headline for one of them reads, VA to ease authorization rules for some outside care, raising concerns. And the article goes on to say that there's concerns that this is a step towards privatizing the VA totally, even though the Secretary of the VA has outlined several times, Rob, that is not the intent. The intent here is to provide community care access to veterans and ease some of the red tape. But why do these people not write op-eds, Rob, with the other standpoint, the other half of that? And that is, why are veterans having to go through so much red tape to get care, whether it's outside community care or in the VA? And they should be upset and worried that veterans were literally being wheeled out to die in the streets in Phoenix when that scandal happened because the VA was too full. There doesn't seem to be an emphasis on the veterans receiving care with the people who wrote that article. The emphasis is, how do we keep the VA bureaucracy going?
Well, it's the narrative. It's not the facts of what the care is actually on the ground. It's the narrative. That's what the care is. That's why you have these op-eds. That's why there's people paid to do these op-eds. That's why the media pushes these op-eds.
Absolutely. And I don't know who needs to hear this, but I'm going to say it. This country voted for President Trump, and he didn't just win the electoral colleges. He won the popular vote, and he lost a lot of Latino, African-American voters, women voters, or he won those in much greater numbers than he had previously. And the reason why the Democrats lost those numbers, I'm going to give them this advice. Make the main thing if you ever want to win an election. You're concerned about bathrooms, transgender affirming care and teaching this to kids and all these crazy things. And jeans, not understanding the double entendre, jeans and jeans. They're worried about all these things, and everybody's a Nazi potentially. But the main purpose of the VA is to provide care for veterans. It is not to employ veterans. It is not. It is not. It is not to employ bureaucrats. It's not to give jobs. It's not a jobs program. The main purpose of the military is to impose our will against other nations if need be. Pax per potens, power through peace through power. That's the main thing. The VA, and under President Trump, under Secretary Collins, is getting back to the main thing, which is serving veterans and providing them quality health care and access to timely care. This article, this is ridiculous. All these people who are so caught up in this, Rob, it blows my mind. They're more concerned, well, hey, this might lead to all these things. Not one mention of the fact that veterans weren't getting the care that they deserve, veterans weren't getting the care that they needed, and veterans weren't getting care in a timely manner.
No, it's about pushing the bureaucracy. It's about pushing the bureaucracy, yeah. And that's what we know it is. Tommy, I got to leave it there. I'm running way behind on traffic and weather, but I appreciate you coming into this weekend.
Thanks, Rob. I appreciate you.
All right. Thank you.